Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Gavlik, who's unmarked as he streaks away into an open goal.
Hit the boundary line.
Oh, the post is broken. Matthews hit it.
Boy, oh, boy, wow, wee. He shoots towards goal. What more can you say?
No AFL footy this week. Plenty of room for AFL draft talk. And it's been a big 7 days since we were back here on the draft, the special AFL draft edition of the Herald Sun Footy podcast. My name is Jordan Pinto. I'm here again with Dan Batten for the second episode. Dan, you've been pretty excited. You haven't stopped talking to me about what happened on the weekend. Firstly, how are you and what did you see over there in Melbourne?
I'm well. We made it past our first episode. I wasn't sure we were going to get a second week or even a third or fourth, but it's looking positive now. We've got a second week. And yeah, I was out at RSAA Park in Moorabbin watching a host of first round prospects, Oakley Chargers versus Sandry Ham. Was an absolute thriller in the end, and plenty of big names staked their claim and stamped themselves as, you know, high picks in this draft.
Yep, and we've even got a few questions as well come through on our Twitter account, which we'll get to a little bit later, of course, if you do want to be part of the show in the coming weeks. Hit up myself at Jordan Pinto with a zero and at Dan Batten _ on Twitter. Ask us what you want about the pool itself and maybe what your club needs to look for in the 2022 draft. And also, we better just point out, Dan, we've been pretty busy too. The AFL draft dossier, the interactive guide that we put together with the help of Chris Kavanagh over there in Melbourne and Andrew Capel over here in SA. Full profile stats and a little bit of latest intel and 85 prospects. Full interactive guide. You can get on there, heraldsun.com.au, advertiser.com.au, and check that out right now. But Dan, I've kept you waiting. I think you need to let it out. You just need to let out what you saw on the weekend. I can see it in your face. You just want to tell me. So what happened? I think, you know, the first two rounds of the draft were in action at RSCA Park on Saturday. So who caught your eye the most? We're going to discuss on the show as well. We're going to lead into this week. We're going to look at our top 10. So we're going to debate who we think is the top 10 of the draft board for 2022. Before we do that, tell us, well, 10 of your what guys were playing by the sounds of it. So what happened?
Well, yeah, it was the return of Elijah Sardis to the NAB League. He'd had a couple of games at school level, but, I mean, he just absolutely stood out. 38 disposals and 13 inside 50s for him. A very attacking midfielder. Looks set to be a top five pick, you'd think, in this year's draft or in that sort of five to 10 mix, certainly. Harry Sheezel was another one, 3 goals in that last quarter. So Sandry Ham were down by 36 points at 3-quarter time and came back to within a goal and nearly pinched it late in the piece. It was one of the better games of the NAB League for the season. And he ended up with 4 goals for the game. Him and Will Ashcroft both lifted when the game was on the line, as they generally do. And we'll get to them in our top 10s a bit later. Ollie Houghton, another one. Who really impressed during the championships. He kicked 2 last quarter goals, won a really nice snap from a stoppage situation and 25 touches. And obviously the Bomber fans, we'll get to a couple of questions a bit later on Alan Davey Jr., but he just showed his class again, kicked a long range goal from 55. That was really impressive. Other guys, Luke Teal, who's been a bit out of sight, out of mind this season with injury, but obviously an AFL Academy member. He was solid in defence with 20 disposals, and obviously no George Wardlaw there either. Still sidelined with a hamstring injury, but no shortage of talent down there, and then plenty who I guess proved that they may be even higher than their current standing at the moment.
Yeah, we talk about, you know, match winners in this draft, and I guess Sheezel's performance again just highlighted how much of a match winner and how much of a game changer he is forward, and then what he's shown through the midfield too. We'll talk about him in a little bit. We've got him both got him reasonably high, maybe a bit higher than some others. And I watch a bit of that game. We can catch the replay if you want at heraldsun.com.au, the live stream of that game from the weekend. Get on there and check it out. Now it's definitely worth watching, as you can tell, Dan. Pretty excited, but he should be. And you speak about Elijah Tsitsardis. I think he had him dashing out the middle three or four times, I reckon, in the opening 10 minutes of the game. Didn't miss a beat. Obviously, wasn't perfect with disposal coming forward, but just the way he takes the game on, really, really eye-catching. And we'll talk about him in a little bit. Over here, there was some footy over here as well, Dan. Stand for one rating season is still going. I think my question to myself on the first episode of the drafts last week was about Billy Dowling. Where we see him back in under 18 action? We didn't play for St. Peter's again, and I think we'll potentially play for St. Peter's in Intercol game this weekend. So he hasn't yet backed up that 44-4 goal performance at under 18 level. But speaking of goals, one that caught my eye and he featured in our dossier, Jaden Magor from South Adelaide. Now, he's long impressed as a forward. He kicked four goals in the under 18 semi-finals, a bottom major last year against Westies, sent an early message to recruiters there. And he's kicked 23 goals in 10 matches as well this year. But he's also been able to move through the midfield, give him opportunity to show he's a tough ball winner through there. He takes a really strong mark and he kicks goals, but he's really strong and tough when he's around the footy as well. He had in round, what round was it? It was mid-year, I can't remember, round right here, but he had 41 touches, 21 contested possessions, 8 clearances, and kicked 2 goals round 8. Wow. It was. So he's shown what he can do in both areas of the ground, attracted some significant interest as well. He's been invited to the National Combine later on this year. So it could have been more. It could have been. This is a guy we could have been talking about a little bit more as well, potentially. He kicked 2 goals, 81 Champion Day ranking points in the first half against the Allies in the National Carnival Open. He got injured, though, and didn't feature again for SA after halftime of that game. So it could have been a lot more, but he's back, returned from injury. He's had a couple of weeks in the Sanford under 18s, kicked 11 goals in the last two matches, kicked 6 goals, 3 on the weekend against the Eagles, including the match winner at the end of the game. So we spoke about Harry Shears, a match winner, Jaden Magor, a match winner too over here in South Australia. And again, could have been a guy we'll be talking about a lot more if it wasn't for that injury, but definitely one to keep an eye on. Should test quite well as well, the combine coming up. So he was what caught my eye on the weekend. But Dan, I reckon we should probably get straight into the main topic of discussion here for the second episode of the drafts. It is our top 10s. Now, how are we going to do this? You're going to give me your first five, and then I'll give you my first five, and then we'll
So I'll name the Oakley and Sandy players, and then you just name the SA. I think we'll go Benny, 5 and 5.
Gully, 5 to 5. We'll debate the first five, and then we'll list the next. We'll take the first five, then we'll come back for the six, I reckon. But the first one probably won't take too long.
Yeah, so number one, I think pretty unanimous number one. Across the country is Will Ashcroft, Brisbane father's son. Number two, maybe a little bit of a surprise, Harry Sheezel. Just thought his game on the weekend was super impressive. And I think during the championships, he was carrying a bit of an injury as well. But he's one who can go through the midfield and just be an absolute match winner, forward to centre. Elijah Tsitsardis at number four. And another bit of a riser, Aaron Cadman, who is coming off 20 disposals and 4 goals on the weekend, just been kicking plenty of goals in the NAB League and had a really impressive National Carnival. So how's your number five, your top five looking, Pinto?
Well, we're actually pretty even at the top. Will Ashcroft number one for me. I've got Sheezel as well. We didn't plan this. Again, proven goal kicker now, match winning midfielder potentially, and his kicking is sublime, and he gets out of trouble a lot too when he does push further up the ground. A nightmare matchup, I guess you'd probably call him, regardless of where he's playing. I think if he can trend in that direction, that he's probably very, very high ceiling in terms of what he can become at the next level. I think number three, I've just I'm not very certain about this. I've got Sardis up at number three. So Wardlaw down at four was probably pretty low. I'm probably just a bit of recency bias maybe creeping into me, I reckon. The hamstring injuries, haven't seen him for a little bit. Seeing to Sardis we did on the weekend, and I think I discussed on the first show how much I like when he does with tucks the ball under his arm and the way he gets his hands out as well around the contest to Sardis. So got him at three for now. Wardlaw at four. Number five, mine's a bit different. I don't think you have this guy in your top 10 at all. Cam McKenzie, St Kilda NGA Academy
you
member.
You said we hadn't compared notes.
Well, you did tell me that this guy wasn't in your 10.
That is so
I
true.
Do know, true. I do know that. St Kilda, not going to get the hands on this guy, obviously, with the bidding changes in place now for the draft. You cannot match a bid until after pick 40. That's no chance of happening. Cam McKenzie, I just like he's so composed with the ball under pressure. He's a good ball user out in space, but he's pretty clean too around the contest. He's shown him. You sort of see him. He sort of jogs around, but doesn't look. And then he just gets the ball, and then he's away. You can't tackle him. He doesn't sort of sprint to the contest. He sprints away from the contest. And I like what he then sort of stops and gives himself a bit of time as well when he does break loose. And normally finds a target. So I've seen him a couple of times just change his mind at the last second, or what seemingly looks like he changed his mind at the last second. But obviously, just his mind works very quickly. His, in terms of his footy mind works very quickly, weighs up the best option, and usually takes it. So I've got him up there. Might be a little bit early for some, but then you don't have McKenzie in your five. Where did it push a bit further out, or is he close into 10?
He's so close. It's not a reflection on him. It's more a reflection of the other guys in that sort of 5 to 10 bracket, or even at 6 to 10 bracket. I might as well reel off my 6 to 10 now. So, and I'm not sure I mentioned it. Three, Wardlaw was just behind Sheasel. But so six, Jai Clark, the Geelong Falcons midfielder. He's just gone from strength to strength, especially during the championships. He led from the front there for Vic Country. Matthias Philippou. So we've got our first South Australian finally. With Philippou, I think there's definitely some comparisons to Marcus Pontempelli in his draft year with what he can do up forward, his marking presence. He's a taller midfield option who can impact in the forward half. And he's shown good signs at Sandford reserves level. And even when he was injured, during the championships, he took the mickey a bit and kicked a ridiculous goal down at the Cattery. But number eight, first WA player from my top 10, Jed Buslinger. I think he's the standout key defender in the pool. Who knows if a club will jump a bit earlier. He's had a bit of injury this year. He was playing through a shoulder injury, and I think he's done for the season at this stage. So, and then another WA prospect in Elijah Hewitt, really explosive inside midfielder at forward. He can kick goals. He's played waffle for Swan Districts in recent weeks and showed some really good signs there. I think he's one who could potentially play right away as well. And then number 10, Matthew Jefferson from the Oakley Chargers, key forward. I contemplated putting Cam McKenzie in, but Jefferson, what he was able to do at the champs, kicked 7 goals in one game, 4 and 4 of those came in one quarter. He's a 197 centimeter key forward. Good hands overhead, moves well around the ground. And if not for some inaccurate goal kicking early in the year, he could have had some absolutely massive bags in the NAB League. So there's my 6 to 10. How's yours looking, Jordan?
We're close. Just quickly grill you a little bit on yours. We'll get back to mine shortly. Jefferson, obviously not as many runs on the board as, say, a Cadman, but obviously probably a lot of upside him. Still pretty slight as well, but great hands, as you mentioned. One thing I want to say about Buslinger as well is, it doesn't look like a 196-centimeter guy when he's kicking either. Took a lot of kicking into Waffle Colts level as well. Very assured with the ball. Elijah Hewitt, I probably agree with you, this one guy that can play right away. Been playing sort of a small forward at waffle level. But what sort of upside? I want to ask you about Jai Clark before we take a break here on the drafts. What sort of player do you see him becoming? Just gets the job done. You've got him above a Philippou here. Gets the job done. Philippou's done it as well. Had a massive bottom age season as well, numbers wise. But I think he's got more weapons than Clark. Does Clark have enough weapons, or do you think just he's so consistent and so good at what he does that that's his weapon?
I think that might be underselling him a bit. I mean, he showed at the championships. Maybe. He's got inside outside traits. I think his kicking was certainly above what I sort of expected of it from looking at him early in the season. He's another guy who does lift when the game's on the line. I've seen comparisons to Joel Selwood, which I think is, certainly around that sort of player where he leads from the front, uses the ball well, just consistent, hardly plays a bad game. And he's done that now, in the NAB League and at school level as well. And then also doing that at the national championships, which ultimately is where you mark the hardest. So, yeah, I think that there's definitely interest in potentially even as early as the top five for Jai Clark. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw him go in the first three picks in the draft. Okay. So that'll be one to watch there. Definitely. But yeah, I mean, with him, like he's just so consistent. Philippou, I mean, obviously he's shown such exciting traits during. The national championships obviously went down with that injury as well and has shown a sample reserves level. But I think that, the consistency and also just the ability to lift when the game's on the line and it probably has Jai Clark just ahead for me.
Yep, no, that's fair. It's good to hear that explanation. The punters out there like to hear that as well. Probably sometimes you look for too much when you just overlook just how good he has been. So I'm not... I've got Clark obviously in my 10 as well. I'm not trying to write him off as a player. Just like the discussion, we'll get to the rest.
That's what I'm hearing. I'm hearing Jai Clark is going to be a spud. That's all I'm hearing from Pinto.
I'll come back with my 6-10 after the short break here on the draft, the Herald Sun Footy Podcast, the AFL Draft Edition. We're back here on the draft, the Herald Sun Footy Podcast, the AFL Special Edition. We're in week two and we're looking at the top 10 of the draft. Dan Batten and I, Jordan Pinto, debating on our top 10 players of this year's pool. We're up to my number 6, and it differs slightly from Dan, but not, again, we discussed him before, Jed Buslinger is my number 6, just like a couple of years ago with Denver Granger Brass. The best intercept defender or the best key defender is hails from WA. We spoke about how good he is with the ball in hand, but he's very compact with the ball, but he just reads it so well in the air. He's proved not impenetrable at Waffle Colts level at times early in the season. Obviously, his season was interrupted and ended with a shoulder surgery. But again, he's done enough to put his name up there, especially with maybe not a lot right behind him in terms of the type of player. So I think you mentioned as well, Dan, a club could reach quite high for him and probably worth it too. Philippou, number 7, I've got him as well, as we just debated him over Jai Clark. But he's been consistent. He was great at the bottom age level last year for the Eagles. He stepped up this year, dominated that champs game against the Allies. He's played some pretty good reserves footy, and he's just a dual threat. I think we're speaking about a theme on this show as well, given he's such a good forward. He's also so good in the midfield. He's so clean. He feeds the ball out and gets his teammates involved. So Philippou is there for me, and I do have Cadman at number 8, Aaron Cadman, the forward. You mentioned lovely left foot kick for goal. I think in our mature ages wrap, last week we just spoke about some of the players. You know, it's overlooked just how goal kicking important it is sometimes. And this kid can kick, he moves very well, and he finds a teammate by hand as well when the ball's kicked in his area. So they kick long to him all the time when he's not on the lead. He's great in the lead. He's good one out too. If he's not winning, he probably wins it on the ground and sets up his teammate as well. Difficult matchup. He's at my number eight, Jai Clark, who we discussed earlier before the break on the show. I've got him at nine. So I still do have him in there. I haven't written him off, Dan. I probably came across a little bit strong. Always like to get your thoughts and dig in to what you're thinking about him. Number 10 for me. Now, I'm denied over this one. I'm not sort of set on the next five. I think we probably can both agree that sort of pretty sort of open from this point in the draft. And
yeah, for sure.
Differing of opinions around the country on a few different guys, but I've gone a little bit. Well, it's a bit different at the moment, but it might change later. In bit of a smoky Bailey Humphrey, who I think we've spoken like about on the show before. Didn't play in the champs, was injured, but we speak about match winners and guys who can play forward and in the midfield. Kick four goals again on the weekend. So strong as a four, but then when the ball hits the ground, so explosive and powerful. You know, you look at someone like Christian Petrarca and what he does as a four. This is what this guy does. It's a bit of a obviously late bloom in terms of this year and not being able to show his wares on the national stage, but got a wicked sidestep as well, and just like hard to stop. Like dangerous in the midfield, dangerous as a forward as well. So we look forward to the last national champs games later on in the year, because if he can put on a good performance there and do what he's done in the NAB League of recent times, then top 10 could be his home. What do you think there about him?
No, 100% agree on Humphrey. That big country versus big metro game will have a huge say, I think, on his place in the draft. For me, he was just outside that 10, despite what he's done since he's returned from injury. I think he's had two goals of four, and in the other game, he kicked one goal four. So he could have easily had more there. But what I've seen, obviously, with Hewitt, Jefferson, and even McKenzie, who was just outside my 10, they've stacked up and done it on the national stage. Whereas at the moment, we only have the sample size with Humphrey against NAB League, which obviously isn't as strong a competition, but I love the pick. I really wanted to put him in my 10, but I thought it would have been a little bit of a disservice to the likes of maybe Jefferson and McKenzie to have Humphrey ahead. The other guy that I thought was a little bit interesting, he's been moving up in other top 10s, Aaron Cadman. I mean, you seem to have some pretty high praise for him. I mean, why did you have him at 8 and not higher, considering the lack of the dearth of quality tools in this draft?
Your turn to grill me. I've got him at 8. Just the guys I like ahead of him, McKenzie, Buslinger. I think he's probably maybe a few more runs on the board potentially as a key. So I'll probably take him before Cadman, and I just like Filippo, and I can definitely see a club taking Cadman higher than that, like you mentioned, given what's coming after that. So I think it's even pretty close, I think, probably after those top four, really. We've got them in different orders. Other people would have them in different orders as well after Ashcroft, Sheasel, Stardust, and Wardlaw. So I like both, Cadman and Buslinger, not much really separating for me, I don't think. But yeah, I can definitely see a club going higher than 8 where I've got him. Yeah, thanks. I appreciate the grilling there. You did owe me one, but I do like watching him play. I think it's written somewhere about, models his game or wants to move a bit like Jeremy Cameron. Aaron Cadman, the way the way he kicks the footy and the way... Jeremy Cadman, I like it. The way he gets around the ground level as well. We know how good Jeremy Cadman or Jeremy Cameron, whoever is at the moment, the Giants and former Giant Geelong forward now. So yeah, he's an interesting one. Interested to watch to see how he develops at the next level.
Yeah, definitely. And just quickly, obviously I'd Hewitt in at 9. Where does he sort of sit for you? Do you have any knocks on him? Obviously this group, this top 12 group is fairly universal along with pretty much the names we've mentioned, and Humphrey, essentially in that 12. I'm sure he wouldn't be too far back, but is there any knocks on Hewitt, do you think, in his game, and why he isn't ahead in your eyes?
Yeah, he was close to that spot. Like I said, Almenada next spot. He's been on the radar for a while now. You mentioned he's playing some good league footy. He's footy over there in the Waffle. He's strong. He's ready to go. An explosive type. But I might be looking at too harshly, a bit of champs footy. You know, does he have enough defensive running intent? Is he doing enough? I guess at that level, as a junior, when you're so good offensively, you sort of maybe... Do you have to be as defensive? I might be sort of pinpointing a little bit, but a couple of things I've seen probably just made me push him down a tad. But in terms of upside and what he can do offensively, you know, he's one of the weapons in that sort of 12 to 15, as you mentioned. So maybe slightly harsh, but that's just why I've put him down.
I mean, he's averaging 4.5 tackles in the champs. Mm. And Waffle level about 3. I mean, I don't think that's bad. I think, like, speaking of defensive...
Afraid to get his hands dirty, I don't think, but we know how important two-way running is. Maybe I'm just sort of going for too small a sample size on some of them. But yeah,
No, it's fair enough. Just speaking of defensive attributes, I think the one player in this top 10 mix that may have a bit of question marks in that area, I think that might, Elijah Sardis obviously wins a mountain of the footy. His offensive stuff is arguably the best of all the midfielders in that crop, you know, Ashcroft, Sheasel, Sardis, Wardlaw, and Clark. You'd say he's, and Hewitt, that Elijah Sardis's, ability to break out of the middle, and his penetrating kick, along with his athletic traits, offensively make him one of the most damaging as an attacking midfielder, but maybe his defensive side of the game does lean down. That may be just because he's winning so much of the footy that, you don't need a tackle if you're winning it 38 times a game. So, but I think that's only a very, very minor, you wouldn't even call it a deficiency. I'd probably just say like an area of his game that may need a lift at AFL level. But at the same time, though, he does so much stuff right. And that's why you have him in at 3 and I have him in at 4 in our top 10 power rankings.
Yeah. It's interesting because these kids, you know, they come up to the top level, they're not going to be the number one midfielder in the team right away. So, you know, you might get shown up potentially stuff they don't do. And obviously still teenagers at junior level where they've been so good for so long. Again, like you said, when they're not deficiencies, it's just sort of areas that we're looking at, because all these kids we know have a lot of talent, can play, but you've got to sort of separate them somehow. So interesting debate, Dan. I think there wasn't too many arguments there, some good points of difference.
Only one SA player in yours is where I was. Right. Surely there's got to be a few more SA boys going into yours, being the SA man, of course, of this podcast.
Maybe in the next 10, there's a few. Harry Barnett, probably the number one ruck prospect, arguably in the pool now after a solid champ. So he's probably gone past, the likes of Harry Lemmy and Tom Scully, who we were raving about. Or maybe that was just me over here earlier in the year. But we said we're going to have their own Harry Lemmy edition.
Yeah, we're lucky we didn't have this podcast earlier in the year. I don't think we would have. No. You may have had to delete some of those and take a few words back, I think.
Yeah, well, obviously Harry Lemmy features in the dossier along with 84 other prospects, which, again, you can look at heraldsun.com.au, advertiser.com.au. But still, interesting the note about him. In the last 3 or 4 weeks, he's actually finished the year under 18 level for West Adelaide playing in defence. I think he flipped there, I think, a little bit against Vic Country, I think. The last game over in Melbourne, just because his lack of confidence, couldn't get it into the game as a forward, went down back. But he's combined tallied 8 intercept marks in the final 3 home away matches under 18 level, which is... You know, he's doing okay as a defender, but it's such a big turnaround from, he took 7 marks, booted 1 goal, 1 on his league debut last year, just 17-year-old against Port Magpies, with a lot of Port Adelaide Power listed players in that side. as well. You know how good he was at the champs even last year as an underager. So it's been a big turnaround. There is some question marks, recruiters question marks, you know, over his competitiveness and his ability to take a contested mark. He's so good on the lead. He's got great skills. He covers the ground well, but can he do enough in a one-on-one? And he's not a, never probably going to be a crash your pack key forward, but there is some concerns on that. So I guess his place in the draft really is a fascinating one, fascinating watch from here. I'm sure we'll talk about that in coming episodes. Let's take another quick break here on the draft. We'll be back with your questions. As Dan mentioned before, some Alan Davey Jr.'s Essendon fans will come back, talk a little bit about him. And of course, as we did last week and we'll do every week, we'll look at a few things to watch for over the weekend. It's time for your questions here on the draft. Again, if you want to be involved in the show, get at us on Twitter at Dan Batten _ and at Jordan Pinto with a zero. Thanks to the few that did submit some questions this week on the draft. We thought maybe we'll have to ask ourselves a few questions again, Dan. But no, we've got a few listeners, and which is good. Obviously, a lot of clubs, their season's over now. So they're all looking at the trade period, free agency, and of course the draft. A lot of eyeballs on that. But one here from at North Babel. Dan, we'll start with you. Who are the best kicks in the top 10, he asks?
Yeah, it's a good question because obviously a lot of midfielders are in this crop, but I'd probably have to say Harry Sheasel, his finishing is just sublime, whether that's in through the midfield, dishing it off inside 50, or obviously just snapping goals from all angles. Ashcroft as well, it has to be in there, wins so much of it, but, you know, he is a great user by foot.
Yeah.
Who do you sort of see as the best kicks in that top 10?
Just on that, Ashcroft, though, you know, shows, proves just how good he is at everything, given, you know, that's not the first thing you think about when you think of Will Ashcroft is a you know, an elite kick, but he's just so good at everything that his foot skills are good. I mentioned before Cam McKenzie, the St Kilda NGA guy who I had at number 5. I've seen some, it makes great decisions, I think, and most of his time, his kicking is to an advantage, and he does slow down to hit the target. So I like what he can do by foot. So I've got him at number 5. But I do like the Harry Sheasel thing. We've seen what he does. He sort of spins out of trouble and always finds someone as well. And, of course, you know, like you mentioned, we're not just talking about field kicking as well. What he does around goal is elite. So I like that. But thanks for the question at North Babel. Plugger, another one here on Twitter. Why is George Wardlaw ahead of players like Tassadas and Sheasel? Now, good question, but we sort of had it the other way around, Dan. We had Sheasel. We both had Sheasel ahead of Wardlaw. I had Sheasel and Tassadas over Wardlaw, but it's not really anything on Wardlaw as such.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that question actually came in from North Babel as well. Maybe they've written that down wrong on the run sheet. But
the double. No, sorry, North. been a big week for North. I think,
yeah, it sure has. And I mean, one of those three guys could end up at the Roos if they keep that pick one. But yeah, Wardlaw, even just looking back at some of his tape, I think some may have been thinking that he's more of just an inside midfielder. He ranks really high in the vertical jump, I believe, at the preseason testing day, and also is quick off the mark as well, which is why I guess the comparisons to Clayton Oliver have come, and he just is so reliable, what runs both ways as well, fierce tackler, wins contested footy. But yeah, I think it's probably no fault of Wardlaw that we had those other guys ahead, or I had Sheasel ahead in my rankings. I think that Wardlaw may be a slightly better kick than Sardis, and Sardis may be a little bit, I guess you'd say he's more of an outside midfielder than Wardlaw, but Sardis probably has the offensive traits. So they all bring something different in that real top-end mix.
Yeah, leading in to talking about the picks, a question came through from at King Hornet on Twitter. Is pick 1 for 5 and 7 a fair deal? Now, I assume he's thinking that Crows currently hold pick 5, Gold Coast pick 7. So he's assuming maybe that the Crows give up number 5 for Isaac Rankin. That gives Gold Coast 5 and 7 in the top 10. King Hornet, is he a North fan? What do you think? 5 and 7 for 1. Obviously, at 1, Ashcroft goes to Brisbane, say North bid. At 1, you definitely get a Sheezel, Sardis, Wardlaw. You get your pick of those guys. Could they all be gone by 5 and 7? Do you think it's a fair deal, or is 5 and 7 sort of too much to give up? I guess depends what club has it, really.
Yeah, I think this is the year to do it. But I mean, if it's the, obviously the Crows would be giving up that pick. So I mean, I think it would
just assume he asking the question that maybe he's assuming that the Crows give five to the Gold Coast for Rankin, then Gold Coast going to the draft.
If I was North, I'd definitely be looking at it. You look at the players in our list that we've made. If they get to that point, in my list of 5 and 7, it's Aaron Cadman and Matthias Philippou. Like, it's not like you're getting absolute slouches, and it's certainly not a big drop off. I don't think. I reckon that even that 2 to 7 mix is quite even at the moment. Obviously, Wardlaw and Sheezel are very high end prospects, but you know who knows that? Who's to say that Cadman and Philippou won't be better players at the next level? So I think it's certainly worth looking at, particularly for North, you know, who can get a wave of young talent in. And necessarily, some might view it a little bit differently. They might have Cadman a little bit higher, but those midfielders are probably ahead in the pecking order. And you look at what North need, they probably don't need that many quality midfielders. They've already got, the likes of Davies Uniacke and Will Phillips, Taron Thomas through the door in recent drafts and have overlooked. Yeah. Oh,
King Hornet.
Wait, who's that?
King Hornet.
But no, of course, JHF as well. But yeah, so maybe it is worth going back, getting that second pick in the top 10 and being able to snare a Cadman or a Jefferson or even a Buslinger with that second pick.
Yep. No, I agree with that. Now, what did Plugger on Twitter ask? I think he was... where do we think? This is up your alley, I think, over there. Where, obviously a Bombers fan, where do you think the bid will come for Alwyn Davey and then his twin brother, Jaden?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, even with watching him on the weekend and what he was able to do at the championships, I think that he is probably in that top 15, top 20 bracket from a pure talent perspective. But whether the bid comes there, I'm not sure. It will. I mean, it's probably a little bit too early to speculate on that at the moment, but generally the bids do come about 10, even sometimes 20 spots. I don't think they'll be able to snap him up at pick 35, but generally they come a lot later. You even look at Errol Goulden, for instance, the Swans Academy pick. He was taken in the 30s and look what he's been able to produce. But, and then Jaden Davey, I mean, some rated Jaden even higher than Alwyn entering the year before his injury, his ACL rupture at the end of last year. So I think Davey probably slips into that rookie draft range or late draft, as I said, a bit out of sight, out of mind. So it could be a case of them picking him up, through the rookie draft or something like that, which would be an awesome result for the Bombers.
Yeah. Yep, just quickly before we move on to what to watch for this week, speaking of NGA prospects for Crows fans listening out there, Isaac Keeler, I guess coming into the year, there was a chance that his name might not be called until after pick 40, which then the Crows would be able to match, given he's a member of their academy. But because there was concerns, I guess, over his consistency, his competitiveness, his intensity, or his consistent intensity during games. But his talent was never in question, though some still rate him as the most talented player in the SA pool this year. But he's worked really hard on that side of his game. He's put together a standout 2022 season for North, and he was pretty good as well at the champs. So That looks pretty unlikely now that the Crows will have a chance to match it. It's sort of seen now as a top 30 pick, I think, by a few different clubs around the country. So would be a big surprise to see the Crows. Of course, they can just pick him if they want to, but probably not going to be able to get him match a bid outside 40. Just quickly, the other one, Max Michelani from Nord. Father Jim obviously played a lot of sample games, 211 sample games before 1986 he played. So obviously qualifies for Crows father, son. Now he's in line, he's risen as well, in line to be take the first three Crowe has taken. He potentially could be the second Crowe to taken. So as a father, son, the Crows will get a good one there. So I guess for Crows fans out there, if you're giving up your pick for Rankin, who knows, they might shuffle back, but just say you do give up that first round pick, you walk away next year with Rankin and then Michelani too. You've done pretty well, I think, heading into next year in terms of new talent to your club. So he's going to be a good one. Intercept defender, reads a play very well, nice turn of foot, uses the ball well. But again, so Crow's getting probably a good father-son prospect in November's draft. Dan, before we go, what are you watching for this weekend? Is there 15 first-round picks playing in the same game on the weekend in your backyard?
Unfortunately not. Nah, there's no doubleheader, no second Sandringham v Oakley game. But of course, I'll be watching in Victoria because I don't look at any other prospects in any other states, according to you. It's only in the metropolitan Melbourne regions. Nah, of course, Sandringham versus Murray will be another good game this weekend. Braden George, who has been touted as a top 15-20 selection, a little bit like Bailey Humphrey with those sort of explosive forward traits. He played a half on the weekend, but it'll be good to see him if he does back up and play a full game. Obviously, Ollie Hollins as well, who's been the brother of Elijah, who has really taken to AFL footy like a duck to water. But yeah, he's the younger brother of him, and obviously all the Sandringham players I mentioned. But it's the NAB League wildcard rounds. So obviously it's a new addition this year. So first and second teams don't qualify. Already go ahead to the next week of finals. But then it's up for grabs. It's, pretty much every team in the competition going head-to-head for those spots in the finals series. So it'll be great to watch. And yeah, if the guys like Bailey Humphrey, Braden George, Luke Teal, looking to, I guess, boost their stocks ahead of the draft. So yeah, it'll be a fascinating watch. What's going on in SA, Pinto? A few college matches.
Intercol big games this week. Big names floating around in the college circuits. Might get out and watch some of that. But also sample finals are here this week. And Sturt are playing in an elimination final league side. We spoke about the mature age prospect Tom Emmett last week on the show and in our mature ages wrap. Can he kick a big bag of goals on the big stage? That'll go a long way to sort of really giving him a chance as a mature ager. The reserves also playing for the Eagles in the reserves. Adam DeLoyer, who we spoke about last weekend a lot on the show, had 28 touches, 13 clearances last week. In the final minor round game, he's pretty much leading that midfield at reserves level for the final. So it'd be good to see again if he can, which he has in every other time he's done it, go on to another level when he's raised up a level, obviously reserves final. So we're watching him closely again and plenty of footy to watch. I'm sure there'll be plenty to talk about next week on the drafts. Again, if you do have a question, you want to be part of the show, Dan Batten _ at Jordan Pinto zero, or of course any of the Super Footy Herald Sun Advertiser Sport social accounts. Get on there and leave your questions or whatever you want to talk about. If you haven't already, that AFL draft dossier, 85 profiles, stats on the top prospects in the land, interactive, everything you need to know about who your club could land in November's draft, heraldsun.com.au, advertiser.com.au. And Dan, we'll see everyone here next week on the draft.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments. River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.